with this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice.
You can't control the pop if you don't control the pop.
The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris Wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 41 of Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This is being recorded Wednesday, April 16th, 2014. This is Aaron. And in tonight's episode, we talk about the Wild's final two regular season games, their first round matchup, ruptures, and the end of the Gopher season. To my side is Kenny.
Yo.
And on the other side is Jive.
Hey!
But he's not on any one of my sides.
This is true.
We need a triangular table for three of us.
Actually, this would be your front side.
Oh, boom. Oh. Boom roasted. Boom roasted. So, with that, as a side note, you can follow us on Twitter. We are at Three in the Box. You can find us on Facebook. We're facebook.com/threeinthebox. And on threeinthebox.com.
Threeinthebox.com. G Plus coming soon.
Sometime.
And do we want to give a brief heads up about what may be happening this week with our podcast?
Yes. In the upcoming week, now that we've got, it's no surprise, we got Wild playoffs coming up. We're going to start rolling out Wild, Three in the Box, 5-minute majors, where after every Wild game, we're going to do a little brief rundown.
Yeah, post-game shindig.
Yeah.
Handing out 5-minute majors, I see.
Handing out 5-minute majors, hopefully not to Rupp, but, you know.
But, yeah, so be prepared to start seeing some podcasts a little bit more often.
A little shorter ones. I mean, we're not going to do a full hour, you know. We're going to aim for that 5-minute mark, but, you know.
And hopefully a nice precursor to next season if this works out.
And hopefully it'll be 5-minute majors, not 10-minute misconducts. So.
So. With that.
Shall we get into it?
Let's get into it. So as we said, this past week, the Wild kind of ran out the schedule to play the last two games. The Wild beat the Blues 4-2.
Shooting themselves in the foot.
Did they really? Well, I don't know. Okay. I guess we can figure that out. But after beating the Blues 4-2, they got blown out by the Predators 7-3 in a completely meaningless game for all intents and purposes.
Well, the schedule was already set, I think, before that game started, wasn't it?
Maybe. Well, I mean, with the Wild, I mean, they beat the Blues, they lose the Predators. Obviously, the Wild were in coast mode, with neither of the last two games counting for the Wild themselves directly. I mean, they were going to be 7th seed.
They're in it at 7, whether they did win, lost, draw, whatever.
They could have skated, you know, 12 Danny Heatleys and it wouldn't have made a difference.
Ouch.
They would have probably blown out the other teams then.
Clap bombs. And Bacardis all around.
I was going to say, this could be a real car wreck happening.
So with that, they won against the Blues, who are obviously reeling at the end of the season. And at the end of the Predators game, they were actively avoiding hits, both for and against. I mean, they're trying to stay healthy, really, you know. Should we be concerned at the Wild end of the season with a loss? I mean, is that gonna send them with a negative vibe going into the postseason, you know, on a downswing? Considering how great they were doing, you know, to begin with.
You know, it would have been nice to see them hit 100 points. But I don't know if Yo actually said throw the game, but, you know, definitely he wanted to keep his guys healthy. And I don't blame him.
Yeah, in the end, that's what matters, you know. The last couple games or any of the games during the year really have no meaning once you make it to the playoffs. I mean, when you're in the playoffs, it's a whole new season. So
well, and the Predators game had no impact. The Predators weren't in the playoffs. There's seriously no impact. The Blues, obviously, there's a little more impact because the Blues are still jockeying for position.
Still trying for that number one position.
Right.
Which,
We all know how that worked out for them.
Yep.
Yep. Which we'll go get to a little bit later. But in that Blues game, which is kind of surprising because we started, Healy actually got a game, got a start, you know, after being scratched for so much. He started in the game.
And who won?
Well, the Wild won.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Right.
See? All-Star.
All-Star also got an assist.
Yeah, he did.
And Brodziak got goals number 7 and 8 of the season.
Yeah, he had 2 goals for
a
lead.
So what you're saying is he was an old man and he needed a little bit of rest.
Yeah.
Well, for a lead.
Now he's back in All-Star form.
For a lead in his debut also had an assist.
Debut.
Yeah.
Debut.
And,
I'm French, yo.
Frog. no, sorry. I think Suter played a season high low of 11 and a half minutes.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was insane. But in that game,
John Curry started. His first game starting since he was with the Pittsburgh organization,
like 2008, something like. I mean, it's been a long time.
Crazy stats. So with that. Not a single Wild goalie has played more than 29 games or started more than 29 games this season. He was the 5th goalie to play against St. Louis this season. So St. Louis faced 5 different goalies 5 different times.
We keep them on their toes.
Then he also set a season franchise high of 43 saves by a single goalie. For the Wild.
Right.
So, I don't know, coming out of retirement, maybe?
Well, you gotta figure some of that is Suter not playing as much.
Yeah.
And Suter blocks shots.
This is true.
So, and a blocked shot is not going to be a shot on goal. So
yeah, you know. But, I mean, you know, he had a couple of points in the game where he was getting peppered like 3-4 shots in a row.
Oh, no doubt.
So, I mean, he was playing good. Now, my question to you guys... Was he finally the correct goalie to face the Blues, or was this just kind of the continuation of St. Louis and their downward end of the season spiral?
Well, considering how well or how poorly the Predators game went, and considering Curry's track record in the NHL, which granted was a few years ago, is not that great. I gotta figure it's just St. Louis imploding. I don't know if we've discussed talking about our predictions for the postseason yet, but you know, I think the Blues are going to be hurting this postseason because they're limping into the playoffs.
Well, they're playing Chicago first round too, which is good for us, bad for them.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean that said, I agree fully. There, the Blues have been just kind of on obviously a downward trend through the end of the season here, and that is, you know. I mean, heading into the playoffs, yes, you want guys to get their rest and things like that, but you don't want to end it on a sour note. What did they lose, like 6 or 7 in a row? But how many in a row? I think it was like 6 or 7.
Yeah, it was.
It was pretty brutal, and that's not how a team wants to be heading into the playoffs.
Oh, no. That's definitely... That would be a bad loss going into the playoffs. Right. The Wild's loss, not as bad resting up guys. But when you're still trying to fight for that first seed position, and, you know, Brodziak scores 2 goals against you, Healy gets an assist, you got essentially an old rookie goalie, an older rookie goalie that stops 43 shots.
I mean, still gave up a pair, but, you know.
And just a week before that, you know, St. Louis was looking at they were running for the President's Cup.
Yeah, so they were in contention for the President's Trophy against Boston.
Well, yeah. That's just a test to though how quickly things can turn around. Which that's why they play the games. Because,
and
you know,
well, they're gonna have an even tougher time with what happened in that game.
Yeah, I mean, because in the St. Louis game, Mike Rupp, I mean, he just laid out. I'd say a questionable hit on TJ Oshie. Oshie collapsed into a heap on the ice with blood coming from his mouth. He needed to be helped off the ice. I mean, he stood up and then kind of toppled over. He was obviously, his clock was rung to say the least. And he didn't play the rest of the game, nor did he play any other minutes in the season.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If his clock was wrong, was his bell clean? Because bell clean, bell wrong, clock clean, bell clean.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Sorry.
This is what we've come to.
You totally derailed that right there.
Wow. So with that.
All I got to say is watching that hit from Rupp, I do not see any viciousness there.
No.
I do see one TJ Oshie with his head down, trying to dangle with the puck a little and, you know, sidestep people. And, hey, he happens to take a shoulder to his freaking head when he's not looking. You're taught that as a hockey player from a young age. Keep your head up.
And honestly, I mean, I had an argument with a coworker today because I don't think that Rupp. I mean, it did, from my view, it didn't seem that Rupp was targeting the head.
No,
He was aiming for the body, but because Oshie's got his head down and he's trying to dangle, you know what? He's gonna be. And it was a fast play. It was really fast. Oh. So if you watch it in slow motion, it seems like Rupp is targeting him, but. In reality, it's not that fast.
Right.
I don't know that he really deserved the four games, but at the same point, it's probably not the biggest loss for the Wild, because considering how many games he's been scratched so far this year.
This is true. I mean, I'm in the same boat as both of you guys, where, you know, with as fast as it happened, I could see getting the game misconduct right off the bat and getting ejected from the game because it did happen fast. Yeah. However, I totally do not agree with the four-game suspension. I mean, it looked completely incidental, but, from my opinion.
And even that, who the other hit was is escaping my mind right now, and I apologize for that. But there was another hit that I saw mad that I can't remember the game, but it wasn't very vicious. But because there was an injury as a result of it, the guy got tossed out of the game. And it was the same type of scenario where a guy's skating with his head down and he gets his freaking bell rung. I mean, it's what happens if you don't keep your head up and defend yourself.
It's a fast-paced game. And I mean, yeah, like you said, your head's not up for a split second. And that's the difference between skating away from a check or bouncing off of a check and going out for...
And just because there's an injury doesn't mean that there's a penalty or that there's a...
Well, that's the thing, is like people get hurt all the time.
Right.
You know, are you going to make a penalty for someone getting hurt and being fragile?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty ridiculous.
If so, I want Gabrick back.
Oh, God. Is this going to be like bench penalties like three times a game?
Right.
I mean, it's I totally agree, because at a certain point it's like, how can you penalize for the injury? Shouldn't you be penalizing on intent?
Right, intent or the play. Right,
right. Yeah. I mean, it's like people collide all the time, people get hurt all the time. It happens. It's the nature of the game.
Right.
But I mean, with all this being said, Rupp obviously has missed a bunch of time. Partially because of injury, but then he's been healthy scratched for a majority of the last, you know, 3 months.
And he had a lot of gray going on in his beard there. You know, so he might need his rest anyways.
Well, that, and, you know, people talk about, you know, he slowed down, and when he did play, the Wild lost a ton. He wasn't the scrappy guy that we had last year, I don't feel.
No.
So with that, he's a guy who's now slowing down, doesn't score, doesn't fight. He's not a center like Konopka was and can win faceoffs. Did we just witness the end of Mike Rupp's NHL career?
I think so. He might as well put his plaid pants on and hit the greens already.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to say we'll be able to call it the end of a career, but
with the Wild.
Well, with the Wild, he's done.
Yeah, with the Wild.
I think his NHL's career is done.
There may be a team that needs to pick him up to fill a roster spot.
Buffalo.
To you know, be like maybe just more of a
presence.
not even a presence, a situational type player, depending on who you're playing against, you know?
Well,
if you need a little more muscle.
Well, if he's going to do that, though, he's going to have to actually do it. I mean,
yeah.
Because, I mean, in the wild, I mean, I don't know how many fights he's had, but it's less than five. If I'm not looking at hockeyfights.com, just off of memory, I'm going to guess he's been in less than five fights with the Wild, and probably just at most a couple with this season.
So are you going to rate a guy on his fights?
Well, what else is he bringing to the table? He doesn't score. He's not fast. He doesn't dish out the puck to people. He doesn't win faceoffs. What does he have going for us?
On the defensive side of things, I mean.
So
a bigger body can help out.
You're using the Brodziak defense.
Well, hey,
that's the Brodziak defense right
every,
there.
Every team needs a couple of those guys.
sure. I'll give you
but,
that.
Hey,
I'll give you that.
I'll give you. We also need some goals. So I mean,
yeah. Consider we're in the bottom third of the league in scoring goals.
Right. How's that going to work out for us?
Need to put the puck in the net, and Rupp is not helping that on any front. You know.
Agreed. And with that, should we talk about the upcoming for the Wild? Here?
Might as well.
I mean, obviously we kind of spoke on it already. The Wild will be in the playoffs. They're going to be facing the number one seed thanks to St. Louis flopping.
Collapsing.
Collapsing and just, I mean, imploding at the end of the season. So they're going to be going up against the Colorado Avalanche now here in the playoffs. Really, I think that the Wild match up fairly evenly with Colorado. The only thing that I think that Colorado might have a little bit of an advantage on us is in their goaltending. Obviously, Varlamov is a big part of Colorado's game, right?
I mean, yes, he is. But you got to look at last year. Varlamov was in net last year, and that team was at the bottom of the barrel last year.
Very true.
I think it has more to do with, you know, what about the coaching, you know?
Coaching. But when a guy I'm one to say that when a goalie, like, finds his streak or gets into his stride, that's the most dangerous time to go up against any team. You could have you could have an average goalie, but if he gets on that mean streak where he's just on,
playoffs
he's in that zone.
A whole nother season.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's...
But see, I'm going to say it's not the goalie. It's not Varlamov. I'm going to say it's Nate MacKinnon.
Okay.
Number one pick overall after last year's crappy season for Colorado.
Colorado, yeah.
And Patrick Waugh.
Patrick Waugh.
He's lit a fire under their rears, and their collective rear.
Maybe he's showing Varlamov a thing or two.
you may be right. You know, you may be right. But I don't think it's him in itself. That would still go back to Waugh, and I'd be okay saying that. I think a good question, though, is do the Wild really want to face Colorado going to the playoffs? I mean, would St. Louis have been better considering their epic, you know, slide into the playoffs?
Well, you know, we were just talking about this last week and how we were all saying Colorado would be the best suit for us. And now
oh, how the tables have turned.
Kind of second-guessing everything, going, you know, right. with Colorado's big downfall, yeah, it's gonna hurt. However, if Oshie's not back, I don't think I want to play a Colorado team who just had our all-star player get taken out by one of your guys, because they're going to be looking for blood.
You're talking... St. Louis. Okay. Sorry, you were confusing me there for a second.
So playing St. Louis, I think that first round, I mean, you're going to be looking at a very physical game, and the Wild don't have that physicality. I think they would have been beaten and battered and taken out and possibly swept in four games. Colorado, I think we have a standing chance.
And see, I don't think they would have been swept against St. Louis. I think I don't think it would have been an easy task for the Wild, even without Oshii there. They probably still would have gone deep in the playoff. And you're right. They would have been the Blues would have had, you know, there would have been blood in the water. They would have been circling. And I think the Wild still have.
Are we in San Jose?
Oh, and I think the Wild still have one advantage with the Avs, and that Matt Duchene's out, and that's going to hurt the Avs.
Oh, know? Absolutely.
We're getting back some key players. I think it's gonna hurt Colorado, and I think the Wild are coming in pretty good shape. I think. Yeah. You know?
But I guess I still at this point I would have liked to have seen the Wild play a limping team that you know, as great as their season was, they're limping their way to the playoffs.
Oh, no doubt.
No
doubt.
You know, I mean they've been beaten up, battered and bruised, and
well,
they're ripe for the picking, basically. You know,
we need one of our Finns back to help us out in this playoff run if they're going to try to go deep into this. Because, honestly, I like Brizgalov. I like what he brings. But I don't know if he's going to be able to get us through four rounds to the cup.
Well, and speaking of that, you know, since we're talking about injuries and people coming back, we've got with the upcoming playoff games, we've got Granlund, who's actually going to be coming back in game one. He missed a couple of weeks with the upper body injury, which is, I'm pretty sure, was a head injury, you know, considering his history.
Yeah.
We also have Brodziak, our love-hate guy, I guess. I mean, he's great defensively, or at least okay defensively, at the very least.
Yeah.
He missed the last game due to an undisclosed injury, which I guess is more than likely just an excuse to rest him. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, we had Danny Heatley, who got a chance to play in St. Louis.
All-star.
He got a chance to play in St. Louis and then was hurt for the Nashville game. But now he's healthy enough to be scratched.
Russo had said Yo had a different wording for Brodziak and Heatley being out against Nashville. It was something about their legs didn't feel quite right, or it was something crazy. It wasn't just a straight up lower body.
No,
injury.
No. And if you look, there, no one's talking about them actually being hurt. It was we got to rest them for whatever reason. but yeah, so Heatley's probably not gonna be playing in the playoffs, at least the first game. Keith Ballard, he's been practicing with the team, but it will not be ready for game one. Kemper, who's also been practicing with the team, is basically a game-time decision. So with all that, given what happened in last year's first round, Backstrom was injured in the pregame warm-ups, should the Wild really feel comfortable going to the first round with John Curry as their only potential backup?
Well... I just want to say this. I mentioned it earlier. You get a guy in his zone, and, I mean, the sky's the limit, basically. And honestly, I think that Brizgalov, he's in a zone. He had a iffy game in there, but for the most part, since coming to the Wild, he has been freaking rock solid.
His only loss, regulation loss,
was Nashville
last game of the season.
Right.
Is that riding a hot goalie, though?
How much did it matter?
It didn't matter. It didn't matter at all.
So, but, and that said, that's why I think that, you know, we got a hot hand with him. We're going to have to hope and pray
this is
that,
true.
That something like what happened last year with Backstrom in the pregames doesn't happen again. I mean, it definitely, if we go down another goalie at this point,
we're SOL.
Right. There's just,
I mean,
not much.
If
left
we were
for
to
us.
Get if Briz gets injured in warmups and Curry's our saving grace going into the season, end of the season here. If we get past the first round, you know.
Although maybe it's fate. You never know, man. Maybe a guy is just supposed to, like, suck all the time, but then just become a big shining star.
I don't know. I comfort level is something to be said, because look at what happens even during a regular just one game where the Wild will get a couple of goals and then get comfortable, and what happens? All of a sudden you're back to a one goal game and possibly overtime.
Yeah.
If they're riding on a not so much comfortable level, hopefully their offense picks up a little bit, going, we're going to have to do something, because otherwise we're going to be golfing sooner than anybody else.
Yeah, well, and we haven't really been able to rely on that from the Wild offense this year.
It's almost a known that, you know, we're not going to score more than three goals.
Except for
there's a reason that our predictions every week is 3-2 is the winner.
Right. Except for look at what happened last time Curry started. They got four goals. Brodziak got two of them.
So what you're saying is we need to put Curry in net and start Brodziak.
Let the offense kick it up again.
Okay.
Brodziak is our savior.
Put up a banner.
Brodziak.
You know, this could make sense with the snow that we've been getting. Maybe hell is freezing over.
Oh, it's done frozen.
Oh, talking about this is not in our show notes or anything like that, but talking about hell freezing over. Mark Parrish, you remember them?
From Bloomington. Yeah.
Yes. He's officially off the Wild books as of the end of the season here.
Nice.
We're no longer paying Mark Parrish.
That's only been, what, about 4 years now?
Five years.
Wow.
That was a Risebro move. Yeah.
Thanks, Doug.
Good for him, though, man. He made some cash.
He did, actually. And he still played a few more years, so he was double dipping for a few years. So good on him. There's a good article by Russo today, I think, talking about that. And I was like, that's pretty awesome, actually.
So, yeah, upcoming?
Yeah.
Upcoming. So we've got the Avs and the Avs and the Avs, because, you know what, we're in the playoffs.
Wait a minute. Aren't we playing...
Oh, we're playing Colorado. No, we're playing Colorado one of those days.
Colorado. Oh. Okay, yeah.
I thought we were playing the Avalanche.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We got Colorado, we got the Avalanche, and we have the Avs.
That's right.
There we go.
Yeah.
Three games.
That'd be Thursday, Saturday, and Monday.
I don't know why the NHL decides, you know, they're Colorado. They're one time zone over, but the games are starting at...
Mountain time, baby.
8:30 our time.
Mountain time.
On Thursday and Saturday. Yeah. And then come Monday, when they're here, they're playing at 6 o'clock. So they're starting, it seems like, a half hour later in the later time zone and an hour earlier in the earlier time zone.
And really, I don't think that they care about the time zone. What they really care about is their timing. So they get the most viewership between this game and this game and this game.
Which makes you wonder why they even play these games, because usually Colorado, Minnesota equals no national airplay, so that who gives a crap? Put us on CNBC3 and, you know, pray it's in your cable package, you know.
Maybe get them some airplay on ESPNU.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, if Barry Melrose is John,
I'm gonna butcher his last name.
Yeah, Bukagrassi. Yeah, if they're
Bukkake.
The ones, Bukkake.
Speaking of, I almost spit on my beer out.
That was almost a spit take there. If they're the ones that are doing announcing in color, for the Wild playoff games, I would love that.
I think these NBC sports guys that do hockey like once or twice a week need to take some lesson from them.
Oh, no doubt. we'll get to those guys a little bit later when we talk about the Gophers' championship aspirations. So why don't we go right into Game of the Week! Week.
Wow. That wasn't weak at all.
Week.
Powerful.
So last week's game of the week was Gophers at UND.
Powerful.
Versus. So the actual score was 2-1.
2-1.
2-1.
So much for the high scoring game.
We all predicted
With the exception of Jive.
With the exception of Jive, who had a modest score of 3-2, everyone was way off, basically.
Yeah. Good thing we weren't playing on The Price is Right, because we'd all been losers here.
Exactly. So with Jive's triumph, he moves into a tie with me.
I'm coming.
With 12 points. So
that's
with
what
that, Jive gets to pick this week's game of the week.
I bet I can guess the team.
I'm not sure. I've been thinking about it though. Who do you think I should pick?
Either the Avs or the Avalanche.
I know Colorado.
Colorado. Yeah, Colorado. Colorado.
That's who we play on Saturday?
No, I think we play the Avs on Saturday.
It's the Avs on Saturday?
Maybe it's the Avalanche. I don't remember.
All right. Whatever, we're going to take Saturday's game, how about, all right? And just tell me what you think your score might be.
So I was the big loser out last week. I'm going to get to choose, and what I'm going to pick? I'm going to pick the Wild winning 3-2.
And I guess that'd be me.
Yeah.
See, but now I like how you wisen up here, though. And you take a 3-2 score. That's good.
Says the guy who is in the tie for lead here.
Yeah.
You're talking like the wizened old champion.
Hey, I won last week.
You get a one-week win.
I can get a little cocky.
You certainly are.
That's what she said.
Oh, boy.
Just saying that gave me a semi.
Oh, good Lord.
So with that, Kenny, what's your choice?
Well, I got the Wild winning the series, I think in 6 games. Obviously, there's going to have to be a loss in there. I'm going to predict a loss that game, and I'm going to take Avs winning 3-2.
Boo. And since the Meat Beast is in here,
3-2.
I will pretend to be the Meat Beast. I say that the Wild are going to win 4-3 because they're awesome and because they're almost like the Canadians.
Almost.
Almost.
Just saying that gave me a semi.
The San Francisco tree is a sample.
Super hour or what? Man, I like that.
That's the one I was looking for.
Me too.
Because, you know, that San Francisco hockey team.
Right.
I got them.
They got hockey close to them. Fairly close.
Yeah, actually really close.
But anyways.
Jive, what's
that
your
leaves,
pick?
That leaves the winner from last week to pick. And I think you guys are still kind of going overboard a little bit here. So I'm gonna just shoot for a 2-1 score.
Okay.
And I'm a homer. So I'm going to go with the Wild with the win. Because I actually honestly do think that the Wild will probably lose the first one to Colorado. But then I think they're going to win the second one to bring it on back home. So 2-1 win for the Wild.
So with this, do we want to quickly just kind of discuss what our picks are on the playoffs? Just kind of run down maybe who the finalists will be?
Yeah, you know what? Do we want to do that, or do we want to just maybe run through our first round picks?
Okay, we can do first round. I'm okay with that. I'll start. I'm going to play the homer mode. I think most of us actually play the homer mode on this one. I'm going to go with the Wild winning. I got them beating the Avs in 7. I think it's going to be close, but I think they can still make it work.
I picked the same, the Wild in 7. I don't think that it's going to be a blowout from either team. I actually really think that this is going to be a very fun series to watch because I think it will be a lot of back and forth. And
they're both teams with some speed. Yeah. They can get up and down the ice.
I see a lot of one-goal games happening. Between two, if not some OT as well. But I also have the Wild winning in 6.
Oh, 6, okay.
So I think you guys both said 7?
Yep.
Yeah, I think they're going to do it in 6. I think they're going to do it at home.
Okay, we'll go right back to you. Blackhawks versus Blues.
Chicago in 7. I think the Blues, you know, now that I think about it, I probably should have picked a little bit lower number, but I think Chicago's just going to destroy them. However, I think it is going to take 7 games.
And I'm going to have to pick likewise with you. Like we discussed earlier, St. Louis is limping into the into the playoffs here, and I think Chicago will make fairly quick work of them, but it'll probably go about six games is my prediction.
And so see, obviously we're all drinking the same Kool-Aid, except we're just getting shorter and shorter because I think it's gonna be a blowout. I think it's gonna be Blackhawks in five games, so it's only fitting, I guess, that we're all pretty much on the same page. So Dallas versus the Ducks. In this one, I went with the Ducks in six. I don't know why I really went with this. I think the Ducks are a better team, but I feel like Dallas could challenge them. I'm not convinced that they're going to be any good. I think it's probably going to end up being a kind of a boring series, but I think the Stars can be able to hold out for at least a couple games.
I don't know. I don't think the Stars have as much to bring to the table talent-wise as the Ducks do. I mean, the Ducks are deep. I mean, it's just how it is. And
can they quack?
But no, but seriously, they are. I mean, they're a solid team. They got several solid lines, decent goaltending. I mean, that's it's a winning combination there, and I just don't see Dallas being able to overtake that. So I did. I took the Ducks in five games there, actually.
I also had the Ducks in five, and this is the only series that I have where it's not either a six or seven game series. So I think Anaheim's going to just roll over Dallas. I think Dallas will take one game at home, and that's going to be about it.
Well, and to finish out the West, we've got the Sharks versus the Kings. This one was actually kind of a tough one for me. I went with the Kings. I'm not very committal on that, so I went seven games, but I went with the Kings.
You know, same thing. I think this one's going to be another back and forth.
They're two very evenly matched teams. Really.
They are. The Kings, you know, their goaltending isn't what it was a couple of years back when Quick took them to the Cup. But I still think LA is going to do it, and I'm going to go with seven games as well. I think it's going to be a knockdown, dragout series.
And wow, we are drinking the Kool-Aid tonight because I am taking LA in seven games. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, like you guys say, it's going to be a fairly even matchup between the two teams. And I think similarly to the Wild and the Avalanche matchup, it's going to be tight, close games.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm predicting LA, but it's going to come down to a goal or one goal at the in overtime that's going to probably lift a team.
None of us are going to be surprised if San Jose pulls it off in seven.
No, not at all. Yeah. This one was kind of a flip of the coin, I think, but I think LA's got just a bit more of an edge on San Jose.
Okay, heading out the East, Boston versus Detroit. With that, I took Boston winning. I mean, the President's Trophy winners, I had him in six. I have a tough time between Rask and Chara. I have a tough time seeing them losing too many more games.
And likewise, I'm going to take Boston in five here. It's a good thing we vary so much in our opinions here. But like you said, I mean, this team has been on it all year. I mean, you know, what more can you expect from a team that's been constantly producing all season, even through I know they've had several injuries and stuff as well that they've dealt with, and they've still been able to come out on top. So
right.
I think they're fairly deep, and they'll go very deep in the playoffs.
I got Boston as well. Playing against Detroit. Detroit barely made it in. They almost didn't make the playoffs for the first time in 20-some years.
You're right.
You know, they've been plagued with injuries all season long. They haven't been up to snuff. Boston, especially the last 10 games of the season, have just been on a tear.
Right. One of their few losses were against the Wild.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, and honestly, I think if they keep that momentum going, they're going to just blow through Detroit. I got them winning in six in my bracket. Kind of wishing I would have gone with five because I think they are going to steamroll them, but it is what it is.
And then the Canadiens versus the Lightning.
I think this one we might have some variance of opinion on.
I think maybe. We'll see. I'm going with Lightning, actually. I think Lightning were actually kind of lower seeded than they would have normally been, partially because of Stamkos' injury. I think they lost out on a few wins because of him being gone. I think with him healthy, I don't think the Canadiens have been terribly strong going into the end of the season. I'm going with Tampa Bay in six on this one.
You know, I've got Tampa Bay winning as well. I got them winning in seven, though, but I totally agree with you with Stamkos coming back. They're going to be a tough team to play in the playoffs. Montreal doesn't seem to have that strong of a team, I believe, to make it deep into the playoffs. And, I mean, the fact that they're the only Canadian team in the playoffs this year, too, which is the first in a long time.
You had to make a note of that, didn't you?
Absolutely. I would like to see...
I'm stupid, I'm Canadian, and I love six.
Just so we can get rid of that sample, I would like to see all the rest of the Canadian teams out of the playoffs for the rest of the season.
Yeah. And I guess for me, I'm actually leaning the other way. I think that the Canadian team here is going to hold up the flag.
Yeah.
But the reason that I think they'll hold that up is that the Lightning do still have some problems with some injuries. Ben Bishop.
I mean, well that, and they don't have Martin St. Louis.
Right.
Who was responsible for some of the wins at the beginning of the season,
right,
too.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I don't know that they're the strongest team at this point right now. So,
right.
I'm going to have to go with the Canadians. What did I pick them in? Six games.
Okay. The next matchup, I don't know. I guess we'll see. I think this one's an easy one, but Penguins versus the Blue Jackets. This is my only predicted sweep of the series. I went with the Penguins destroying the Blue Jackets. I just don't see any way the Blue Jackets can even hold a candle to the Penguins right now.
You don't even think they can get a win against them?
I don't.
Well, I'll at least give them credit for one win, okay? So I got the Penguins in five.
I think I was drunk when I picked this score.
Uh-oh.
Because I got the Penguins in seven.
Whoa.
At least I didn't pick, you know,
hockey
Columbus. At least I didn't pick Columbus. But, I mean, maybe I was thinking Pittsburgh's been so plagued with injuries as well that they may not be as tough as what they should be.
And I'll bring it back again. Who did the Wild beat in the last five games of the season? The Penguins.
Penguins.
So, I mean, for you to have the doubt on it, I mean, it's not surprising.
You keep mentioning that the Wild are beating all these teams. It sounds like we really got a Stanley Cup playoff team.
Hey, I think, you know what? I think any team, if we make it to the Stanley Cup, I think we can roll over just about any team in the East right now.
I would agree.
There we go.
So
there's always hope.
With that, we'll do the last matchup, the Rangers versus the Flyers. This is another one where I think it's basically a toss-up. I went with the Rangers. I don't like Philadelphia. I think they... Here's the reason I don't like Philadelphia. They're blaming all their failures of last season on Brizgalov, and obviously Briz has done well for us. So I think they're just born losers. I think they're going to lose. I think the Rangers are going to win.
You know,
I'll do it in seven.
Now, I don't have this in my bracket, but what if we got us versus Philly and Briz shut them down?
Oh, that would be so sweet. That'd be some sweet justice right there.
You know, wishful thinking.
Right. But who did you pick up?
I picked the Flyers.
You did? Okay.
I got them in six. I think partly because I'd like to see a Pennsylvania showdown between Philly and Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And I actually had to go with the Rangers, though, on this one.
I mean, Lundqvist has been so sharp at the end of the season here. It's hard not to pick against them. You know?
Right. So I did. I got the Rangers in six.
So I
don't think that the Flyers bring that much to the table as far as, goal scoring and the power to,
I mean,
to
so
overcome that, I guess.
So for the most part, with the exception of Boston, I mean, our opinions varied kind of greatly in the East. Obviously, the West, we know the team's a little bit better. We played them more.
Yeah.
Kind of know what they're capable of. But
I think on the West, we all agreed on every team. We
did, and even the games are pretty close.
Yeah.
I think at least two out of three of us each series had the same amount of games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if we need to break this down anymore. I think we should break down our next.
We'll break down next time we have some winners and some losers.
We'll see who the winners and losers are here.
We'll see.
See how bad our brackets get after 2 weeks.
We know they're going to be horrible because that's the way
broken.
This is the way it always works out.
This thing's broken. That's not what I picked.
Well, since we're speaking of broken playoffs, how are we going to Gopher Talk, maybe?
Gopher Talk? All right. So the Gophers, well, we spoke on it last week. They were going into the Frozen Four. Our only matchup against Nodak this year, right?
I know.
Yep.
And who does prevail?
The Gophers.
The Gophers do, with literally a last-second score. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So they did come up with the score with what?
Point six. It was trending on Twitter.
Yeah. Point. And I really liked in the championship game. There's some people had 0.6 jerseys.
0.6.
0.6.
Too bad it wasn't like 0.666. Right.
It might have been.
Or 6.66 seconds.
That would have been nearly as cool.
Right. We're talking in the last second, man.
Yeah.
So, but they did. They managed to come out on top over Nodak. 2-1, they won that game. That was awesome. I'm sure people were riding high on emotions.
What was really crazy is that they scored a goal, and it was like minute. I don't even know if it was a full minute.
32 seconds or 36 seconds?
32 seconds afterwards, Nodak scores and ties it up, and it's just like,
and this is all within the last 10 minutes of the game, or the last 9.5 minutes of the game.
It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, we finally score, and then they come right back. And then it looks like we're destined for extra time.
But it was. That's one of those good old-fashioned, like, rivalry battles that you like to see.
Short-handed with 0.6 seconds left, skating 200 feet or nearly 200 feet to get it.
Yeah, I mean, Nodak was caught on their heels. They expected, you know, the Gophers just go, let's just bring it to overtime and we'll start there.
Yeah.
And that wasn't happening. And honestly, it was a really good game. I mean, it was a tense first two periods, but, you know.
Yeah. Goaltending was phenomenal, both sides.
No doubt. No doubt about that.
Yeah. But going into the championship game, the wheels kind of fell off the bus.
Yeah.
Luckily, not literally fell off the bus.
Well, that might have been in Dinky Town.
That may have happened or it may not have happened.
It almost happened after the win versus UND because there's already an uprising.
Yeah.
After the win. But then,
You know, I don't know. Union, man, they just, they did not stop. And, you know, the Gophers are playing, like a team that they deserve to win. And I don't think they put all their effort forward. Union was playing like a team that wanted to win.
Well, and there's got to be something pointed out that we lost a lot of juniors and seniors last year. So we had a lot of freshmen this year.
This is true.
A bunch of freshmen. And Union is filled with 22, 23-year-old men. Even though they were undrafted, aside from, I think, two players were drafted.
Was it two? I thought it was only one.
There's one or two that was drafted.
Compared to, like, the 15 on the Gophers squad?
Well, I think it was two had scholarships, and then one was drafted.
Yeah, something like that.
But they're basically all grown men that were probably going to be ending, not all, but a majority of them were going to be ending their collegiate careers after that game. And, you know, even though Gopher's talent might be more talented, that 2-3 year difference, that means a ton.
Oh, especially in a championship game.
Oh, yeah.
When the money's on the line. as a young kid, being a freshman or a sophomore in college, you might still be under the assumption that the world owes you everything and that this is just going to fall in your plate.
Well, exactly. But, like I said, they were playing like they deserved the championship.
They were.
And Union was playing like they wanted the championship. Yep. You know, it seemed like two different mentalities.
Well, and I think another thing that I think is another sideline that was kind of interesting about this whole game is that Lucia loses again. His only two championships have come right after he took charge of the team. So he's basically, his first two championships were with Woog's players.
Woog's team.
Yeah. He is still yet to win with kids that he's pulling in his own. He's obviously been to the Frozen Four a few times now. Is he going to be our guy, our head coach?
I think so.
To the promised land eventually?
Well, I think so. I think what does make it really tough is that the NHL can come in and draft some of these guys at the young age.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know this is even a problem in other sports as well, where, you know, the kids aren't playing out their college careers. They're moving on to where the money is. I mean, in the end, everybody wants to get paid. I understand that.
I think it's a little different, though, in hockey because compared to, like, I think the sport that's obviously normally talked about is basketball.
Basketball, yeah. I'm not super familiar with it, but yeah.
But that's normally, you know, kids will skip their, or they used to skip their college years and go right to the NBA. And
even straight out of high school.
And NHL, because of all the development leagues, they really don't do that. If a kid's ready, they'll draft them and then pull them up when they're ready. And
I think a lot of that, like you said, with the development leagues, Canada, huge in that.
Oh, totally.
Their kids aren't going to college. They're going up through different levels of juniors.
They're not
stupid.
Just,
I'm Canadian and I love Sega.
They're not just disappearing into the ether. And plus, I think there's also a certain socioeconomic level to it, whereas you've got a bunch of kids that generally are... To play hockey, it's not cheap.
It's an expensive sport.
It's an expensive sport, and they're...
Can I just give a shout-out to my mom right now for being the single mom and being able to
allow
me the chance to play some hockey, so thanks a lot.
But on that, the parents of those kids, if they're a middling talent where they could maybe make it a pro run, but they might spend 5 years in the AHL, they might be more willing to spend another year in college, finish their college career out. Whereas in basketball, you may not have that parental guidance to go, stick in college, get an education.
Oh, now you're stereotyping.
But it's true. How is that not true, though?
You're saying stereotypes are true?
They come from somewhere.
I'm saying it's a socioeconomic thing.
All right.
You're putting a race on it. I'm sorry.
It's because I'm black?
You are?
I thought you were Mexican.
Oh, wait. Yeah. What am I tomorrow? Tomorrow I'll be Russian, right?
So speaking of tomorrow, what happened after the Gophers game?
Well, you know, let's just say win, lose, screw it. Let's just break some shit. And, yeah, riots. Again, because they lost.
They rioted in 2002 when they won.
And in 2001 and in 2002 when they won. I believe that there might have been some riots in 2003 when they lost the three-peat.
Yeah. It's really kids. Well, it wasn't as bad, I think, as back then.
No, because the police were prepared for it. They had extra enforcement on duty, riot gear ready to go.
Well, that and maybe the kids learned from Vancouver when they lost the cup that you can riot all you want, but you know everyone's got a cell phone now with a camera on it.
Well, and
you tipping over the smart car, you're probably going to get busted.
Police have already been, there's an interesting article on Star Tribune, that the U of M police were not going to be scouring social media to try to find more people to prosecute, but.
Yeah, right.
Well, no, this is the U of M police who have a lot smaller force. However, the Minneapolis Police Department was.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
and
you know, yeah.
really, there is no excuse for these actions.
There's not.
Win, lose, or draw does not give any sort of reason to destroy property that isn't yours. If you're angry, go beat up your pillow at home or something, man. But, I mean, anger management, you should learn to deal with that. And you would think that once you reach an age like that, that you would...
Hockey fans are special.
Therapy hour.
You
with
would
Dr.
Think,
Jive.
Well, just seriously, though. You would think that, you know, by the time you reach a college age, that you have enough wits about you to know that it's not, you know.
Well, here's the thing with I think
these two things don't have any sort of relation to each other.
Like 20 people arrested or something like that. And like 7 of them were U of M students. One was like a football player from Augsburg. There were some people from like Richfield
right.
driving up to just riot. Like,
that's,
I mean,
that's
come
the
on.
Thing. Is people come in here and just use this as an excuse?
Hey, man, I got to riot, yo.
Well, here's my thoughts.
I was looking for a new television.
If you're going to go around because your sports team loses or wins, why would you go around breaking up where you live at and busting up the shops and bars that you go to? Why not just go burn down their arena?
Stupid, I'm Canadian and I love cigarettes.
That's why. Yeah.
So it's the Canadians. They came down. We have solved the case. Minneapolis MPD, you got it right here. It's because they're Canadian.
Gave me a
just look for anyone saying A and looking for poutine.
And then being very polite after
wait
breaking
minute, wait
something.
Wait a minute. We might be looking for poutine at some time. So don't narrow it down by that.
Drinking Molson.
Oh,
Molson
but drinking
ice.
Molson, yes.
Having a mullet. If
the combination of those well, two would call
hold
them
on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Are you saying all Canadians have mullets?
Hockey hair.
I think you just say all Canadians have mullets, though.
The kids are born with them.
Well, okay, here's my thoughts. If you're walking around drinking Molson with a mullet saying A, you should probably just get arrested anyways.
Oh, boy.
We've obviously run out of content here because now we're just bashing the
now
Canadians.
Now we're slandering the Canadians.
Our friendly neighbors to the north, right?
We're basically Canadian. You do realize this, right?
I'm Finnish and Swedish.
Hashtag Finnish Wild Mafia.
I got some Polak, some German.
So what you're saying is that that Canada lies between you and your homeland.
That's what she said.
Depending on which direction you go. If you go to the...
Canada's to the north, Europe's to the...
Yeah, but east. If you want to head west, if you're going to get to your
why would I want to head west when I want to go east?
It depends which direction you go. That's what I'm saying.
I'm still...
Oh, yes.
And with that, I think
you
we're...
can always cross at the Bering Strait. Just remember that.
I don't want to go in the... Russian's your homeland.
Poland's right around the corner from it.
Oh, good God.
I think we've officially run out of a show at this point.
Have you guys gotten your geography lesson for today?
It sounds... I think everyone's more educated at this point.
What if I want to go south through the Antarctic and then come back up?
I don't think we're educating people at this point.
Are you still listening out there?
They're probably not even listening anymore. I think it's done.
Yeah. So with that.
All right.
I'm just going to wrap up the show. When I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for Three in the Box, and that's at Three in the Box on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Aaron GNP. You can also check out my band. It's with these three guys. We are Pinrot, and you can find us at pinrot.com. Kenny.
And you can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999. Also, looking forward to doing some 5-minute majors throughout the playoff season with Aaron and maybe Jive.
All right. Yeah. And for me, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter as well, at Jive Midnight. That's midnight spelled like the midnight, not the mid N-I-T night. Just in case you didn't know. But
it's a good show.
So you can also catch me hanging out with these guys when I'm not chaining my desk at my day gig. So, yeah, that's about it.
I think that's it. Have a good night, guys.
Later.
Holla!
That's what she said.